All right.
Everyone, I hope there is anyone. Can't check because it's pre-recorded. Open SUSE docs, tame the beast, make it a friend. I am Adrian. Along with me on this lovely front page is Attila, who unfortunately won't be able to present the talk with me, but I mean, that's okay. And by the way, Attila, if you listen to this and you disagree with something, it's your fault, man. You can't blame anyone else. Okay, so who are we? So Attila lives in Indonesia. He's a DevOps and a sysadmin, and he's also an entrepreneur, and he works for the company he has founded. And I live in Switzerland. I'm always through my PhD in... It's a long story, but long story short, it's about concepts and linguistics. It doesn't really interest us today. And I'm a Python and Haskell fanboy. On the menu today, now and how it started, because yeah, it's been quite a journey. We've started doing documentation for OpenSUSE last autumn, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, that's going to be the bio moment of this talk, and then we will ride the tumbleweed wave, and I will explain to you, but I'm sure you already agree, why wikis are a trap, and then we shall, if you will, discuss the vision we have of moving the docs under maintainership as opposed to just doing things on wikis and on these type of hit and run platforms where everyone can say everything. And I will explain why it didn't solve all of our problems. And then we will talk about saving the world, nothing less and nothing more, and why documentation is underrated and why you, and that is a plural and also a singular, and it covers everyone, everywhere, at any time in the universe, why you should help us, or at least be motivated to help us. So a look back. Started late November 2020. It started well, and that doesn't mean that doesn't mean now is worse, but if you look at our contribution graphs, I mean, we had a lot of different people who have helped. Of course, you can't expect people to commit full time to a new project, but it's quite a good debut, I would say. The goal was to have the 9 first sections of the table of contents covered by summer 2021, and we have only 6. Yeah, boo. We are slightly beyond schedule. I know, we know. Why? How lazy, how incompetent can we be? And you will understand. But first, let me tell you about why we got into documentation. First, the altruist reasons. First, good documentation takes some weight off the shoulders of user support. And that's quite obvious. If people harass the user support for technical questions, the user support are not doing something else. So, yeah. You want to make sure that most of the questions can be handled by the docs so that people don't have to ask for help. The second reason is it makes sure documentation makes sure that time and energy is not spent twice. If someone solves an issue, that issue should be considered solved for everyone else, and you don't want to have people reinvent the wheel every time they find a solution to a problem. And a third reason, which is not often thought of, is good documentation equalizes opportunities. Why? Because if you are not lucky enough to talk to the most knowledgeable person around, think just of people living abroad in linguistic communities which are not tightly connected to the English-speaking world. If that is your case, you are worse off everybody else who is lucky enough to know someone around who can help. So we want to make sure that no one is left behind, and for that, documentation is really important. How did we get into documentation now? The egoistic reasons. Well, documenting something tests your understanding of it. So you really dig into details and you find unsuspected things that you had not thought of, and that's very pleasant experience. And committing to documentation is a nice incentive for learning. And what I mean by that is, on that point, I can't speak for Attila, but for myself, I almost didn't know anything. And I started writing docs not because I knew, but because I wanted to know. And that's something that's very rewarding for me. Let's talk about Tumbleweed, because Tumbleweed, I mean, everyone around the OpenSUSE ecosystem knows more or less than Leapy's well covered, just because it's the spring off from SLE, so you gotta expect you have some solid and healthy documentation available. But Tumbleweed, it's another story. Tumbleweed, by the way, takes some understanding to be taken advantage of. So what does the documentation look like for people interested in Tumbleweed? Are they going to turn to the official Leap reference manuals? No. Or at least not only, because the Leap reference manuals do not talk about Tumbleweed at all. I mean, it's not just the word that is not mentioned. It's just that all the Tumbleweed-specific workflow and tools are either not talked about at all or talked about only with Leap in mind. So this falls short for people interested in Tumbleweed, because the workflow between rolling and fixed point release is so different. So what are they gonna do? Turn to OpenSUSE wikis, perhaps the SDP, no cigar. There is no explicit and or visible maintainership, so you can't trust anything. That's because you don't know who's vouching for what you're reading. Who is your safeguard? And that enables me to make a broader point about wikis. That's the wikis are a trap part I mentioned earlier. So in wikis, you have an absolute absence of visible maintainership. So that means the truth is contaminated with uncertainty. And let me unpack this for you. So how are you going to tell up-to-date and factually correct information from outdated or incorrect? It's not an easy task at all. You cannot tell apart up-to-date and factually correct from what is not. So the user has no rational option but to try and pray, or maybe worse, go to Fedora or sleep with Ubuntu. But no matter what, it just doesn't do the job. So wikis work just like GitHub repositories, only when you can keep your promise, honor the contract with the user that contents are curated and maintained. If you cannot keep your promise, don't make things appear as if you were able to keep it. Don't fake it. You can't, so say you can't. All right. At this point, I anticipate some objections and replies. So what about Wikipedia? Isn't Wikipedia reliable sometimes? Sure, but they pay people, so that doesn't count. And what about Arc? Well, Arc, what about them? They use wiki categories as GitHub repos, and most of the contents are written by an extremely thin layer of expert contributors, just like GitHub repos. So we, in the docs team, we use GitHub to make explicit this contract between maintainers and users that others' distros leave implicit. And the contract goes as follows. Dear user, we hereby promise that everything you'll find is factually correct or recommended for as long as we offer it. So we embrace the fact that good docs is like a wet market. It's gotta be fresh, and you have people to serve you. You don't help yourself with your sticking feet, with your sticky fingers. All right. Joke aside, let's turn to the types of questions we have to address and have to anticipate when writing the docs for Tumbleweed. So first, you have questions about facts. Shall I pick X or Y in the installer? So shall I pick option X or option Y if I want to do Z? If I'm booting to a black screen, how to use an NVIDIA GPU, how to offload my video output to NVIDIA? How do I get software X? How do I update or upgrade, etc.? Those are matter of facts. But also, and that is going way beyond what you could possibly find in Leap documentation, there are matters of recommendation, and these are at the front stage of questions such as, how often should I update? Should I update? Let me emphasize this. How often, how should I solve conflicts between dependencies? Should I use Zipper or Yoast, Zipper or DNF, tool X or tool Y? So documenting Tumbleweed cannot do away with recommendations. We have to not only move away from the wikis onto something more sustainable, such as a maintainer-centric repo, such as what you can find on GitHub, but also we have to take on board recommendation, best practices, things that you should do, not just things that serve a certain instrumental purpose or that just meet certain facts, actually. So the takeaway is, with Tumbleweed, you have advanced users, not just advanced users, but even if they are not advanced users, they are interested. They are pushing their system and they are questioning their defaults. And you can't meet these people, meet their aspiration just with technical facts. In other words, Tumbleweed appeal to people eager to learn and to tinker with their system. So good docs are required to honor the promise that the risks that they're taking by using Tumbleweed are worth taking. All right, so let's talk about the obstacles we had to and still have to overcome. Just imagine for a second you're a user and you have problems with NVIDIA, because guess what? People have problem with NVIDIA. And that's very surprising, isn't it? So where should these people turn to? Well, they can turn to Leap official documentation, to the wikis, they can go to the forums, and they can check out our friendly Gecko at OpenSUSE -guide. Very friendly person, very knowledgeable user. But point is, you have a lot of different sources, and too many sources giving similar but slightly different tips published at different times. We don't want to control what third parties say about our beloved distribution, so we have to either work with them or to compete with them. So that, well, we just provide the best docs, so no need for other sources. But we can't compete with them unless we present a single source of truth and recommendations to the users, which means, guess what? Removing redundancies. That means deleting or recycling in more pleasant words, the work of other past contributors. And that's taking us a lot of time, and that's one of the reasons why we are a bit beyond schedule as far as our objectives go. So another reason is maintainership. Meeting our own reviewing ambitions is a tall order. Just to make things concrete, just check out our reviewing process. Whenever we have a new submission, first we review the structure and the contents of the text, and then the language, the style, and the punctuation. Absolutely boring, and I mean, very enticing and compelling activity, yet that's something we can do ourselves. We are the only cooks in the kitchen. Everything goes nice and smooth. What about the two other things we gotta do? Well, we gotta make sure that we have peer reviewing on the contents. So we gotta review again the structure and the contents. We gotta review again the language, the style, the punctuation. And I mean, to do these two last steps, we need to turn to experienced and knowledgeable contributors. And even when they are flawless for technical facts, don't always agree to making recommendations. That is, in other words, they are not fully, totally convinced by the past couple of slides I've just offered to you. So we need to accommodate this. We need to push them, so to speak, to go a little bit beyond the facts and be a little bit more less humble and less shy, and put some realistic recommendation on the table. So they're a little bit shy, or they don't have time to explore recent use cases so as to make an informed recommendation. So that's the problem. We're working on the docs at a time when there is not really a tradition of using such a reviewing process, because I mean the community, the project, so to speak, is not used to this maintainer-centric model we're using here. And finally, the third reason why we're a little bit beyond schedule is the technology is more integrated than the people. And by this, I mean you have very complex tools such as Yest, Zeeper, Snapper, which stand at the core of the OpenSUSE user experience, and they are very neatly integrated. Nothing to say about this. But you can't say the same thing about the people that work on them. That means there is a mismatch between the level of integration of these tools on the one hand and the level of integration or of coordination of the people that maintain them. It's not a criticism, it's bound to happen in a world where you need to specialize. But what would be really helpful to us would be to have specific time windows or platforms where we can go to potential reviewers and first identify them and then go to them and ask them if they would review stuff. There's Progress, there's Pager, two platforms. The first one has been around for a couple of time already. Pager is migrating surely, but we're migrating to Pager, and so that should mitigate the problem. That might not be sufficient. All right, saving the world. Time for some silver linings. After all these obstacles and these pain we've been through. First, a good step in the right direction. We've been able to assemble a Telegram bot that is supposed to make it easier for people to access the documentation, even from within the context of a live conversation, when they're asking for user support. So for instance, you have this user here. I mean, I could just do a BDFR snapshot, lol. I have actually been meaning to reacquaint myself with Snapper. Nice words, by the way. Good English vocabulary. And boom, answer. Slash doc snapper, and you have the bot sending a list of links, each of which is relevant with respect to Snapper. So it's searching the docs with using Snapper as a keyword, and apparently the user who asked the question seems to be satisfied. And so yeah, you make user support a much more lean and simple experience if you can funnel people that have specific questions to specific answers available from the docs. And another thing that's been on my mind for some month now is we could imagine that we basically create new dynamics within the community to help not only documentation but also accessing documentation and reviewing documentation. So it's just a game of thinking here. Three conditions that describe this ideal situation I have in mind. So imagine that whenever a user finds a gappy or an outdated or incorrect contents, they can report them to the documentation team through a simple procedure. So basically you'd imagine a button on a web page, a web page that would be serving the documentation. And then another condition would be whenever the docs team needs a reviewer, they can broadcast their requirements to a waiting room of people interested in reviewing, so people who have made themselves available to reviewing. And these people can pick up the tasks they're interested in the most as they come. So it's like a pipeline. At one end of the pipeline, you put contents that needs to be reviewed, and on the other hand of the pipeline, you have knowledgeable people that can pick up the task and send back. And the third conditions would be, imagine that all contributions, be it writing the docs or be it reviewing it, is easy to trace to their authors and to reference from a curricular. So people that help us on GitHub, people that review the docs now, or in the ideal scenario I'm painting at both strokes, all these contributions are traceable. Imagine how powerful an incentive that could be to people that are just not, I mean, to people that would like to make use of their OpenSUSE experience on a more professional level. So with these three conditions met, you would have a situation where contributing would be even more rewarding to everyone. Actually, it would be so the individual contributors would win more, because their contribution would be more directly actionable. You would have reviewers that would also win in the sense that they could directly have some impact on the quality of the documentation about the packages and the software that they themselves make. So they would have more control, and they would be able to have more. It would also act as a sort of feedback, if you will, because I mean, the type of answers you have to the type of questions you have to answer gives you a clue as to what problems people have downstream. And also the end user would it would be just as easy as using a wiki to report and to signal some shortcoming. So yeah, that's a scenario I think is we're not quite here yet, but we are heading in the right direction. So, conclusion. The documentation is a wild beast, but it's also a very precious one. It's like a precious navigational instrument. It helps a community know where it's heading, and it helps it remember where it comes from, because it embodies a particular history and a particular tradition. So it's part of our DNA, so to speak. It expresses the gene of the community in a particular way. So just for that, it's a beautiful thing. And used in conjunction with good feedback mechanism, like the end of the year survey we're going to talk about later today, it makes for one of the most beautiful places you can contribute in OpenSUSE. And that's it. Thanks for your attention. And don't forget to check out our repository, our Telegram group. And also, if you want to read these slides at your own pace, you can do so from my GitHub repository. See you later. Thanks a lot.